Young Living's story is Gary Young's story, my father's story. And this past week at our global headquarters in Utah, we unveiled a statue of the founder and father of the modern-day essential oils movement. Along with the statue is a replica of the cabin where he became the man that would found Young Living. Hello and welcome to Young Living's podcast, The YL Drop. My name is Jacob Young, your host. Young Living is the world leader in producing and distributing premium essential oils. This podcast will provide you with drops of information about Young Living, including stories, history, products, lots of little fun facts, and even more. There will also be a chance to get some free products, so stay tuned for that. Today, we have a very special episode of the podcast where we will play a portion of my mother's speech at the statue unveiling this week. She begins with that primal connection between a man and nature.
There was a horse by the name of Cannonball. Cannonball was born with a defective leg, a foot, a hoof. And Gary's father was a harsh mountain man, and he had no use for an animal that he couldn't use. So he was going to put the horse down. And Gary begged his father to let him have the horse. Now, he would have been a very early teenager. He might not have even been a teenager yet. But he took that horse, and he started to build a form that he put on the horse's foot to turn the foot back to the normal place that it should be. And about every 2 months, he would make a new form for the horse's foot. And eventually, that foot turned until that horse could walk normally and could run like a real horse. And Gary told many, many stories about Cannonball. He told the story how, after he graduated from high school, he went to the Middle Fork and worked for the Forest Service. And of course, Cannonball went with him with a pack of, actually, they were donkeys, which Gary didn't think too much of. He thought they were kind of dumb, but they were good pack horses. And he was walking with Cannonball, and Cannonball started to act funny, and his ears went up, and Cannonball knocked Gary off the trail they were on into the brush. And Gary got up, and this is Gary telling me the story, and he got up, and he looked at Cannonball, and he talked to him like he was a human being. And he understood Cannonball when he would talk back. And he really chewed him out, and he said, "What are you doing? You never do things like that. Why would you knock me over?" And then he heard this, and a rattler struck and bit Cannonball in the leg. Cannonball knew that snake was there, and he knocked Gary out of the way so that Gary would not be struck by this snake. So Gary hurried and rushed back to camp and began milking the leg, and he gathered all the herbs from around the bush, white willow bark and different things, and he made a poultice. He kept his leg in cold water from the creek, and he would milk it to get the poison out, and then he would wrap it with the poultice that he made. And then he'd go to do his duties of clearing the trails for the Forest Service, which was his responsibility. And he said, "Cannonball, I'll be back. Now you stay here and you be a good boy. And don't follow me. You have to stay here. You can't walk on your leg." And he said when he would come home, and this went on for about a week, he'd come back to camp, and before he got around the bend, Cannonball was nickering, and he could hear him just carrying on. He was so excited for Gary to return. This was Gary's great love growing up as a child. Horses were everything. Cannonball was everything to him. The end of the story goes that when he moved to Canada, he took Cannonball with him. And one day, when Gary was not there, rustlers came in and stole Cannonball and some of the other horses, and he was gone. They combed the forest. They combed the mountains. And 3 years went by, and Cannonball was gone, which was a horrible experience for Gary. Well, one afternoon, there was a truck that pulled up with this mangy-looking horse in the back. And they unloaded this horse, and this neighbor said, "Gary, I think this might be your horse, Cannonball." And his mane was very long, his feet had never been trimmed, and he looked like something that had never seen society, never seen a human being. And he was offish. He was a little bit afraid. And Gary stood back and talked to him like he always talked to him. And Cannonball recognized his voice. And Cannonball very slowly trotted up to Gary, and he looked him in the eyes. And Gary said he started to cry, and Cannonball put his head on Gary's shoulder, and they were reunited. But Cannonball had been in the wild for 3 years, so he was restless. He wasn't happy being in a corral again. And Gary recognized that wildness in the horse. So he opened the gate, and he said, "Cannonball, go. I know you want to be out there in the wild. Go." And Cannonball walked through the gate, ran to the edge of the forest, turned around and looked at Gary, and disappeared among the trees. 2 days later, Cannonball came back, and he never left. And he died there on the ranch and was buried up there on the ranch. What does that tell you about the soul of an individual? When Jonathan and I started talking, and Jonathan said, "Mary, I want to create a masterpiece. I want to create something that will really honor the legacy of Gary Young." We drove up to Midway, where he and his wonderful wife, Leanne, live. And Leanne is back here with camera. And she took lots and lots of pictures. And I know Jonathan cannot do what he does without Leanne. She's his standby, his partner, his pal, his best friend. And we became really good friends going up there so many times. And Jonathan sculpted what you're going to see in wax first. And the horse's legs were gone, so the horse was lowered to the ground, and it was on a piece of wood that could pivot, so you could move it around, and you could take the head off, and Leanne would go up, climb the ladder, and take Gary's head off and bring it down so Jonathan could work on it. It's kind of funny to talk about, but it was really astounding to see. I'd never seen anything like that before. But I would like Jacob to come up and tell you what his first reaction was when we walked through the door.
My dad always had a very powerful presence with him whenever he walked into any building, into any room, and everybody knew when Gary was in the building. There was just kind of, it was almost a sixth sense that everybody had when he walked into the building. And after my father had passed away, that feeling had kind of left and gone and has slowly started to come back over time. But it was amazing because the first time that we walked in there after Jonathan had sculpted most of his body and he was headless, which was a little freaky too, that feeling and that presence came back for the first time since he had passed away, which was just unreal to me. It's hard to replicate and to paint a perfect picture of somebody else's loved one, family, sibling, whatever it may be. To a lot of people, it may look identical, but to the family member, there's still something that's quite off. And Jonathan took a lot of time in making sure that the body, the face, the posture, the presentation was exactly like how my dad was. And it nearly is my dad. It's amazing what you've done, Jonathan. I truly thank you for that, and Leanne, all your help as well. But when you see the statue, and for those of you who have seen it, I'm sure you have felt that presence as well with him. So that's something that you just cannot make up or replicate. Truly very impressive. So thank you.
Jonathan, as Jacob just told you, was very exacting about how it had to be. He studied pictures. He had pictures of Gary from all different angles and everything. And he kept saying, I just can't quite get the nose right. And I said, tell you what, I'll bring Joseph up and you can look at Joseph. Joseph, come and tell them what it was like for you. Come on. You know how shocking it was when we walked through that door the first time.
It's good to see you, Jonathan. First of all, I want to say that. Yeah, basically, the reason why my mom brought me is because apparently I have my dad's nose. So get a good look at it, because this is beautiful right here. But basically, she brought me in, and there was this huge, huge statue. It was like, oh, wow. And then he told me, hey, just sit down so that I can look at your nose. And I was like, oh, that's a first. So I sat down and closed my eyes, and he just got my nose. And after he got the whole face, I felt and I looked at it. He got it spot on. It was beautiful. And I don't know how you do it. You've been truly blessed by God.
When you see the statue, it's really interesting because the lower part of the face is Jacob, and the top part of the face is Joseph. It's an interesting combination, but it truly looks like Gary. Gary said to me, Mary, whatever you do, don't you make a statue of me. And I said, don't worry, I won't. Well, when Jonathan and I started talking, and we talked with Liz down at the farm, the first idea was that he would make a statue of Gary as a knight. For those of you who have seen Gary joust down at the farm, you know how much he loved that. And he wore that look very well. He looked just like something out of history. And we started, and Jonathan made me a small statue, a beginning of Gary as a knight. And I looked at it, and I just got this gut feeling, this is not my Gary. Gary was a cowboy. Gary was a mountain man. Gary was a lover of horses. He was a lover of nature. So Jonathan had already started, and we talked, and I said, Jonathan, this isn't right. You got to do it as Gary really was, what was in his heart. Well, Jonathan didn't have any problem with that because Jonathan's an old cowboy at heart, too. He grew up on a ranch. Well, Gary used to sneak out of the house when he was 12 and 13 and 14 and take his horse, Cannonball, and ride through the mountains hanging onto the mane with all the wild horses. They'd go and look for the wild Mustangs, and he'd ride through the trees. And I just think, oh, Gary, how could you do that? And he'd say, I just kept my head low, and the horse knew where it was going. Oh, my goodness, who grows up like that? Gary. We met many times with Jonathan, and we became great friends. We found out that we thought a lot alike. We felt the same way about things. And we just had wonderful, wonderful hours together. And I said to Jonathan, you know, Gary told me he didn't want a statue. Now, you can take this for what it's worth. But Jonathan said to me, well, Gary comes and visits me all the time. He stands over my shoulder. And Mary, he told me he's very pleased with the statue. He's very happy about it. That made me happy. Jonathan has a lot of, what should we call it? He's very perceptive. He's very intuitive. He has a connection to the other side. And he definitely had a connection with Gary. And he felt like Gary was pleased when he did certain things, and he could tell when Gary wanted him to change something, when it wasn't quite right. I don't know, that's amazing. But as Jacob said, Jonathan was blessed with a gift from God. And you watch him, how he worked with his fingers, how he moved the wax, how he added pieces of wax, how he took it away. And at first, Gary wasn't as bulky as in the wax figure. And Jacob was the first one to point that out. And he says, no, Dad was much bigger. And we all know Gary was extremely broad and powerful in his Wesen, that's a German word, in his being. And so Jonathan created exactly how we guided him, and he looked at the pictures and he could see it. Yeah, you're right, Jacob. And so when we went back the next time, oh, we were so thrilled because it looked just like Gary.
We're going to take a short break now to give you a chance to get some free product. One of the blends that was most important to my father later in his life and throughout most of his life was Trauma Life, an oil blend that he made for himself in hopes that it would also help others cope with trauma, hence the name. So for a chance to win this special oil to the life and legacy of Gary Young, go over to this episode on YouTube, number episode 7, or if you're already listening on YouTube, head down to the comments and type hashtag trauma life for your chance to win this bottle. Now let's get back to Mother Mary's story.
The cabin Gary actually drew the design for, the blueprints. And he gave those blueprints to Kevin Schultz, who's with us. And Kevin, of course, is the architect of this big, beautiful building. And Kevin became great friends with Gary. Gary had been drawing the design for this building since we first started in Young Living. But he never went forward with it because the money always had to go to the farms. So when it came time, he said, well, I need to find an architect. And he interviewed several, and he hit it off with Kevin. And Kevin took Gary's drawings, and out of that created what you see here. But this is Gary's building. Kevin just made it spectacular. Well, Gary went to Kevin with his drawings for the cabin, and I guess he had in his mind, he wanted people to see the comparison, see what he grew up in, and what his perseverance allowed him to create. This is exactly, it's an exact replica of the cabin where Gary grew up in his early years. Well, it's newer. Well, some of the stuff is pretty old in there. But it's truly, I think the cabin's a little work of art. But when you look at it, and then you look at our beautiful headquarters, it causes you to wonder, what kind of a person was this who could grow up with nothing in the absolute depths of poverty and create something like this? It sends a message to the world. It sends a message to anyone who has the ability to go into themselves and ask, who am I? What can I do with my life? Gary went to Canada when he was 19 with the intention of carving a life for himself out of the wilderness. He was a logger, a rancher. He had everything he wanted. He was totally happy. He even told me at one time he was wondering what he would do next because he had achieved every dream he had put out there by the time he was 22 or 23 years old. At 24, when he was high in the mountains logging in 10 feet of snow, and Gary had the most amazing idea, he would cut the tree out like this, one after another, just get it to the edge where it would topple. And then he'd cut 50 trees, and then the first tree at the top, he would cut it, and he said it was like a domino effect. When all the trees crashed to the ground, he said, it's like the earth shook. He said it was such an energizing, exciting feeling. But you know what happened that morning? One of the branches sheared off and hit him right here in the head. And he said he remembered him descending through the snow until he blacked out. He was in a coma for about 3 to 4 weeks in the hospital. His parents were told he would never walk again. If he lived, he would be in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. I told you the story about Cannonball to help you understand the mind of this man who was told he would never walk again. Can you imagine the depression? Wanting to get out of life? And Gary said, I'm either going to get out of this wheelchair or I'm getting out of life, but I am not going to live like this. He tried to commit suicide 3 times. The third time, he decided he could fast himself to death because no one could save him from fasting. And you know what the doctor said? Dr. Buckley at Vancouver General said, "It's a phenomena of the human body that when it didn't get the nutrients, that the nerves rerouted and reconnected and gave feeling in his toe. That sparked a light at the end of the tunnel. He saw a possibility. When he got out of the hospital, his father built, what do you call it, where they had the rails, bars for athletes. Well, he built those for him, and every day he would spend hours and hours and hours hanging on to those bars, moving his legs, walking back and forth and back and forth. Gary never lived a painless day from the time of the accident. But he never talked about it. He never told anyone. He was never one to complain because he always saw the light at the tunnel. He always saw where he was going. He always saw how he was going to succeed. He recognized that he was not able to go back to the mountains. He couldn't go back and be a logger again. He couldn't ride his horse again. But he dreamed of riding his horse again. He put that image out. He moved back to the United States, went to Spokane, got back into school, and started studying the human body in his great desire to find things that would help him heal his own body. He went to Mexico, had a clinic there, began studying the human body, studying the blood through the microscope analysis that he learned in Germany from a magazine ad that he saw while he was sitting in the wheelchair checking out in the grocery store. Doctor discovers how to heal the body through analysis of the human blood. He got on a plane, wheelchair and all, and went to Germany to learn how, came back and started doing that with those who came from word of mouth about this young kid from the mountains who was studying the human body, who walked again, who was told he would never walk again. It was there that he was introduced to essential oils. He believed that what he found was something that belonged to the world, not talking from one person to the next person to the next person. He wanted to share it with the world. He sold everything he had there, moved back to the United States, and evolved what we have today, Young Living Essential Oils. It's a very long story that ends here. When I look at this statue, I can see the triumph in the face of this man who was told he would never ride his horse again. You can feel that power, that excitement, that glorious moment of triumph over a beaten, battered, and broken body with a prognosis of never walking again. For me, it's a glorious opportunity. I wish I could tell that story to everyone who comes, because it is a marvelous, unique, one-of-a-kind story of someone overcoming the absolute impossible. Gary never believed in the impossible. Nothing was impossible for him. And for Gary, God was his partner. Everything he did was in communication with God. He believed that the mountains were God's living room. And when he wanted to communicate with God, he would saddle up his horse where we live in Alpine, and he would go to the mountains, and he'd say, "Mary, I have to go talk to God." When he came back, he was excited and enthusiastic and had all kinds of ideas. I never asked him any questions, and he never told me what happened. It was his time with God in the mountains. You can feel that when you see him on this horse. I am blessed that I am surrounded by so many fabulous people in Young Living who helped me do what he did as a one-man band. There wasn't anything he couldn't do except sing. But he loved my singing, so that was good enough for him. But he could do everything. And he was the first one to have his hands in the dirt, the first one to pick up the chainsaw, the first one to hop on the bulldozer, the first one to load the distillery, the first one to turn the motor on, the engine on, the power on, the first one to take the oils out, the first one to put them in the bottle, the first one to write the label and slap the label on, the first one to put it in the box and ship it out. He was the first one always. And people marveled at him. And he said, Mary, I live life every day as if it's my last, because God gave me another chance. And my mission is to take the healing power of essential oils to the world and serve God's children. And he did that to his last breath. And the last thing he asked for when he was in the hospital was, Mary, bring me some Trauma Life, a beautiful essential oil blend that he formulated. He had a knowing. He knew he was going to leave this earth. And he said, Mary, I can help you better from the other side. You can do it. And I say, no, I can't. And he says, yes, you can. Don't say can't. That was a word not allowed in our home. But we are doing it. And I'm doing it because of all of you who are here. Be you employees at Young Living, be you the messengers out in the field, wherever you are, whatever you do, we are doing it. And Young Living is an entity that is uplifting and bringing peace and happiness and a new way of life to people around the world. And I'm grateful that I'm still alive. I have to be because I have two sons who need me, because they will walk in their father's shoes. They are walking already. They have a deep love of their father. They have a deep love of what he stood for, of honesty and integrity, and they walk that path. They speak their truth. And I might have a little trouble with my 17-year-old, but he's getting it figured out. This is a young man who wants to give everything he has to everyone else to help those in need. He's a junior ambassador for our foundation, and Colby's kind of taken... Colby Olds has kind of taken both the boys under his wing and is guiding them through their path in Young Living. Jacob's working in marketing. He's the one who has the Young Living podcast, and he's doing a great job with that big, beautiful voice of his. So it's an exciting time for us, and this is a moment that we didn't think would ever come. But it's here, and it's not in the middle of winter when it's freezing cold, so I'm grateful for that. I'm extremely grateful for Jonathan, for the association, the friendship that we built. And it's exciting for him because he's lived with many, many, many challenges in his life. But he just goes forward, seeing the positive, always with success, with enthusiasm, with knowing how to make it happen. And because of that knowing in his soul, we have this moment today to honor Gary with his beautiful statue. Thank you all so much for coming and being a part of it and letting me tell you our story. I don't get to tell this very often, but I hope that every time you come here and you walk past the statue, you remember the great spirit that brought this piece of work to life. So thank you all so much, and let's go do it.
The D. Gary Young statue atop his horse Sundance was unveiled outside the Young Living Global headquarters here in Utah. Among some of the other things that you can visit here at corporate are the Research and Development Center, the beautiful museum that dedicates and shows my father's life and history research of essential oils, as well as our greenhouse to see all little plants that are being grown, and now and recently unveiled as well is our one-of-a-kind mini full distillation system. There's so many unique experiences that you can come see and experience for yourself here at Global Headquarters, so please make sure to come on down. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the YL Drop. Remember, you can listen on iTunes, Spotify, on YouTube, and our newly refurbished website at youngliving.com. Don't forget to oil up, Young Living family. This is Jacob Young, dropping out.
The YL Drop is produced in our studios at Young Living Global Headquarters with assistance from Paul Eagleston, Cole Wissinger, Ren Sof, and of course our host, Jacob Young. Special thanks today to Young Living CEO Mary Young for her wonderful words.